Thank you. We bless your name. You are the Lord who never fails.
Glorify thy holy
In times like these, we need a anchor. In times like these, we have a Savior. And we are very sure that our anchor holds onto the solid rock. We thank you for a day like this. We thank you for a time like this. We thank you for everyone present here, Lord. We thank you for those who are not able to make it here, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Rolly. We thank you for Brother Zuel. We thank you for Sister Lucy. We thank you for everyone who is absent here this day, oh Father. We know that we are very sure that you are with them. You are with them even now and always. And we say, blessed be your name, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your hand of mercy. Thank you for your hand of grace. Thank you for your hand of love. Thank you for that which you have allowed to pass through your people. Thank you for this day, oh Lord, because we are very sure that our anchor holds onto the solid rock, the rock of ages that never fails, even that very rock that followed the people of Israel through the wilderness. We say, blessed be your name, O Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we are praying. Amen. Let the people of God say amen.
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 Thank you.
I hope you are happy to be here today. And I hope you're really happy to be here today. It's been my second week here. And today I would also be leaving, going back to my family in Japan. But I'm also leaving my family here. And I bless the name of the Lord for the time spent to speak the word of the Lord to you all. Most importantly, you can be seated. You may be seated. There is no surprising God. You cannot say, "Ah, God, I've surprised you." And God will say, "Oh, I'm shocked. Ta-da." So everything to God, He knows all. God is not surprised by anything whatsoever. He ordains all. He knows all. He designed all. We thank God for the successful operation. We thank God for those who are sick. It is good to be sick. It reminds you that your body is weak. And it makes you humble. Yes. So we thank God for those who are sick. We know so well that they will be healed. And in fact, they are healed. So we thank God for them. We are not afraid. Right? We're not afraid. Are you afraid?
No.
Ah, we're not afraid. I don't know. It's just a song came to me now. You may not know the song. It says, "We are not afraid. God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel." So you can type it. When we pray, He answers us. When we cry, He hears our voice. We are not afraid. God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. So I want to sing the song briefly, just over and over and over and over again. Because when we come to the house of the Lord, He says, "I will enter His," what? "I will enter His praise with thanksgiving in my heart." Correct? And then I would enter His court with praise. I would say, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And I will tell you for a fact that in this place, there is no plan. Because oftentimes, my brother infant have come to understand me to that point that I may have a plan. And I get here and everything scatters. So, there is no plan. As He leads, we would what? We would follow. So if He says that we should sing one song and pray one prayer, and we should close the service, that is what we will do. Right? That is what we will do. So, don't be afraid. Don't be cold. Don't be cold. I believe there is something that the Lord has for us today. Even though we are few, yes, the Lord is able to move among us. And are we expecting the Lord to move among us this morning? Is that something we are expecting? Okay. See, if we're expecting that, let's ready our hearts for that. Yesterday was a wonderful service, wasn't it? Yesterday was like Sunday to me. And I was having to tell Henry, why is it not? I thought yesterday was a Sunday. Right? So I thought my flight was supposed to be yesterday evening. Well, lo and behold, today is actually Sunday. So it's a simple song. We'll sing it. It's when we pray, He answers us. When we call, He hears our cry. That is, when we pray, He answers us. When we cry, He hears our call. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. When we pray, He answers us. So we can do it in call and response, right? I say, when we pray, you say, He answers us, right? When we pray, He answers us. When we call, He hears our voice. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Which, just give me a. When we pray, He answers us. You're giving me a different tone. Now we are all quiet today. We want to learn. Every one of us will know how to walk on a tonic sofa. Amen. He answers us. When we cry, He hears our voice. We are not alone. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's just simple. 1, 2, 3, 4. When we pray, He answers us. When we cry, He hears our voice. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. When we pray, He answers us. When church who sings together stays together. It's the same saying, it's a family who eats together, right? They stay together. So a church who sings together stays together. It's good to practice the songs, to sing songs together over and over and over again. It's like when you are around a bonfire. I don't know if you've experienced a bonfire before. You have a fire in the middle. Okay. And then you dance around the bonfire. You know, there is an excitement that comes with it. Right? There's an excitement that comes with it. So we thank the name of the Lord. I'm happy to be in the midst of you all this morning. And I don't want it to be cold, honestly. Whatever the Lord has for us this morning, no matter how small we are, the Lord will pass His word. And those who are also sick, those who are at home, down, the Lord has sent forth His hands of healing towards them. I didn't say the Lord will. I said the Lord has sent forth His hands of healing towards them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So last week I think we touched on the topic, that topic was who I am, and the subtopic was striking me a flame. And yesterday we spoke on a number of things which we are grateful to the Lord for. I expressed this proof from the book of John yesterday. It was quite an experience for us. We thank God because when we pray, truly, the Lord answers us. And whenever we cry to Him, He hears our voice. You know, I feel that we don't understand that particular statement. We have Penny over here. Let's say she screams. I'm pretty sure that wherever Penny's mom is, if she hears that our daughter screams, she would come running. Correct? Right? Or is that not true? Wherever she is, as long as, and even there is actually a feeling that you're very far away from your child, but you can sense it within you. And you can hear that voice, even though you cannot literally hear it. You know your child needs your attention. And then you go running. Okay, where is this girl? Where is she? I'm looking for her. Are you okay? Are you fine? And then, mommy, I'm not okay. Okay, I know you are not okay. Because I could sense it where I am, that you needed something. But our Lord actually can hear. He can hear us. He has His ears. He's not dumb like Haido. So He has His ears and He can hear us. Whenever we cry, He hears our voice. And we should be aware that we're not alone. We're not alone. God is with us and God is in us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So last week we touched on a topic we titled that Striking Me a Flame. And it's to make us understand who we are in Christ. Who we are. And we established last week that we are a lamp. Correct? We're a lamp. And even the scripture says that we are also a city that is set up on a hill. Right? That cannot be hid. I hope you can hear me loud and clear. Okay. And I hope this mic is on as well. Okay. So we also say that we are a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. It's not like the city cannot be hid, but it's that the city is designed not to be healed, not to be hid, because it is intentionally set up on a hill. Correct? But we have had experiences, and yet now we are experiencing situation where we are hiding ourselves. And that was what we addressed yesterday. Because oftentimes we find ourselves quite hidden. We're not open. We don't want to evangelize. We don't want to talk about this gospel of truth to others. We, in fact, look like the elder brother of the prodigal son. We just love the comfort of the father's house, who is unwilling to go far and beyond. Right? And we're just so cold sometimes. But when a city is set up on a hill, there are few experiences that city would partake in. One is, the city will be the first to experience the sunrise. Correct? Right? The city will be the first to experience what? The sunrise. Which means the heat starts from that city. It's like Japan proudly says that they are the land of the rising sun. They are the land of the rising sun. Right? And I can also proudly say, because I lived in the far east side of Japan, that I may be the house of the rising sun. Right. Amen. Amen. But we are a lamp. And as such, we require oil. And as the songwriter would say, he said, fill my cup and make me whole. If I don't know if you've listened over and over again to the sermon last week, because I have. And one thing that was consistent there was, what type of oil do you have? Correct? What type of oil do you have? It must be an olive oil. It must be properly beaten. Right? It must be very fluidy. And it must be the right oil to burn the right way. But today we want to talk about something else. Who I am? A peculiar people. A peculiar people. You are the light of the world. Yes, that was last week. And I want to believe that you understand that. But you could say you are a light, and you are just one of those who carry the lamps all at night, going around, you know, maybe a slave or maybe a servant. But no, you are designed to carry the light, to bear the light, because you are a separated, chosen people. I don't know how that makes you feel, but it makes me feel special. It makes me feel special. Because when I realize that every one of us is given the responsibility to carry the lamp, really doesn't mean special to me, right? It's a job. So we're all destined to do the job. Correct? But when I then realize that no, not everyone. Actually, there are few selected people that are chosen for that purpose, then okay, now that is a different conversation. It makes me feel better. Because it means that I am privileged. I have received grace, right? I am a chosen person, a peculiar person, a royal priesthood, chosen for this specific purpose. No matter how much you speak to some people, sorry, they would not hear. Why? Because the Lord Jesus made it expressly clear that it is not given unto them. Correct? Correct? If you think I'm making sense, please say amen. And if I'm not making sense, just do like this. Okay, I don't understand. Then I would explain. Because, you know, it is good to pass a message across. That is what is good. If it is just a single message I'm able to pass across, that's enough. I don't want to come here and pass nothing across. It means I've not done my responsibility, my job. My job is to pass a message across, to get back home and listen to that message again so that I also benefit from it. Right? Okay. So if it doesn't make sense, just say it. I'm not offended. I will try my best to explain. My possible best to explain. But there is something I want you to feel today, which if you don't feel that, then I have failed. I want you to feel special. Because of a truth, the enemy's job, the devil's responsibility, is to make you feel less of yourself. To make you feel like a slave. To make you feel like Lazarus. One who has sores all over him, who is not able to fend for himself. I'm not saying physically. So you can be rich in flesh, but poor in the spirit. So I'm not saying physically. Who has no will of his or her own. Every wind comes, blow you and fall you down, always dejected, always depressed, always in shambles, always in shame, always looking for help. That is not what God has made you and I. If he says that you are a peculiar people, and I will explain to you what it meant to the people of Israel. There is no place that a Jew would go. He would always remember, oh, I have a God. I am a Jew. That saying that alone gives him a high level of confidence that the nations around them are always fearful. They would ask, what kind of God do you serve? How confident? What gives you this confidence? Yes, my father is Abraham. And then that's okay. Who is this your father? Have you not heard? Oh, now I remember. The same Abraham that spoiled Egypt? Yes. Oh, you mean the same Abraham that took the land of Canaan? Yes. Oh, the same Abraham that Abimelech had no choice than to sign a contract of peace trade with? Yes. Oh, the same Abraham that destroyed Nimrod? Yes, that's Abraham. Okay, I know who you are now. I will take my leave. But the devil wants you to go around and say, I'm a Christian, but I'm a Christian. Then you feel so afraid even to call yourself a Christian. So afraid. Because you don't know what it means to truly be a Christian. To truly be one that has been separated. Now let me tell you something. And I strongly feel that the reason why we struggle is because we still have doubt in us. Now, what doubt is that? Who created the heavens and the earth? Who? Don't worry, just say anything. Somebody, what if I say God and he says no? Or if I say Jesus and he said no, the word. Is it the word? No, don't worry. Don't worry. Just say, who created the heavens and the earth? Exactly, the master creator, God, anyone. But at least we know that it is the Father, right? God Almighty created the heavens and the earth. Who created man? The same one, right? Okay. So it means God created you and I, correct? Okay. Who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Same God, right? Okay. Okay. Who did our Lord Jesus Christ die for? Oh, is it us or me? Huh? Personalize that, please. What did he die for?
For me.
Right? Okay, I think some people are still doubting. Right? Do you think he died for you? Do you believe that he died for you? Okay. Does he love you? Right? Okay. How many begotten sons does the Father have? One. Okay. And that one begotten son died for you and I, correct? Okay. So, the one begotten son died for you and I. The Father had, he has millions of angels, correct? These angels are powerful. There are several of them right here, right in our midst here. I'm not saying it with faith. No, I'm not saying something with faith. It's not faith. If the Lord would open your eyes, you will know that there are several of them right here in our midst. Right, that's the fact. It's not faith. So I'm not speaking faith. I'm being practical. There are several of them in that room, here right in this room, right behind this pulpit. There are several of them. And I'm not saying that to make you feel good. So, but he didn't die for them. He didn't see the need to die for them. But despite that, despite the fact that some of them, even a very large number of them, fell. Right? A very large number of them fell. But there wasn't a need. He didn't see the need to say, oh, I want to redeem these folks. Right? Okay. But you and I, who we often think that we are weak and feeble, God rebuked this prison. This prison is the problem. Because you don't know how much God, how, he said, what is man that you are mindful of him? Right? Follow me, please. Florence, what is man? Who are you that God is mindful of you? That he decided to visit you. And he said, you made them a little lower than... Angel is not the right word. Elohim. He said, you made them a little lower than you yourself. The word there is Elohim, not Angelos. God made you and I in the same image and likeness. In his own image. And what is that? We say God is spirit, correct? Right? Well, what kind of spirit? Good, Holy Spirit. So, the same spirit with the angels. Because, let's be very, very clear and candid. If we say God is spirit, and he made us in spirit, and we say the angel is spirit, then it means the angel has the image of God, correct? That is what we're saying. And if the angel has the image of God, why can he not also call them sons? Why would he not call them sons? The angels, I would say expressly clear, they're not in the same category as God. They are not. When we were created, the angels were jealous. They were profoundly jealous. And then, he didn't finish it as an image. It brought about likeness. The angels of God, whenever he needed to exercise them, the Bible called them fire. Right? That's what the Bible calls them, fire. The angels that you have seen in the Bible that is being described, tell me any one of them that looks like a man. No, just tell me one of them that looks like a man. And I will tell you if that angel is either Michael or Gabriel. That's it. That's it. Any other one that looks like a man? They are either looking like a lion, looking like an ox, having wings. Oh, Bro Henry has a wing? Now, what am I saying? What I am saying is that God created you and I in a very specific image of his. Then he said, after his likeness. That is to look like, to have the same similarity with his likeness. It is not that God has this feature. No. It's not that God has this feature. But a day came that this likeness became a cage for us. Became what? A cage, a prison house for us. That is why we feel very much less of what God has made us. Right? And we will get back to this. Let's go to the book of Peter. 1 Peter 2:9. But you, Bro Joshua, you are a chosen generation. A chosen generation. What does it mean to be a chosen generation? Brings us to predestination. It brings us to grace. It brings us to the fact that we were there and we had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with God's decision. He simply just chose us. And he said, here are the people that I would elect. And he called Brother Henry out. He called Brother Paul out. He called Brother Lawrence out. He called Sister Hannelin out. He called every one of you out, one after the other. And he said, be separated. Correct? He used the word be separated. That's very important. He didn't just call you out, but he said, be separated. There is a purpose for you. You are a chosen generation. So there are generations that were not chosen. Another generation, if you would allow me, is the Angelos. He didn't choose them. There are many other generations. And if you will permit me to be free a little bit, there was also one that had slight similarity to man who was very sad. Follow me very closely. Let's go closely and closely and closely. Now, who studied biology here? And who has understanding of biology? I think maybe I should put Sister Zoe on the spotlight a little bit. So you have a dog. Can you breed your dog with a cat? Can you do that? No. Okay. So, for you to have a hybrid, you must get another dog. Correct. Right? Can you breed a goat with a sheep? Interesting. I like the way you hold. Okay, that sounds, maybe it's an assignment for you, Henna. For you to have a successful breeding, hybriding, you need two components of highly similar morphology, correct? Two components that are highly similar in their morphology. Okay. So, how was it that it was possible for the serpent and Eve to breed? Magic. How was it that it was possible for the serpent and for Eve to breathe, to produce Cain? It means the serpent must have a highly similar morphology to a man. Not just walk upright. A bear walks upright. A monkey or a gorilla or a chimpanzee can walk upright. Correct? It's not just about walking upright. There has to be a highly similar morphology. You cannot take a monkey today or a chimpanzee today and breed with a man. You cannot. So for it to have been possible for the serpent to breathe with Eve, there has to be a highly similar morphology. Yes, Cain looked different, but it has to be a case where the XY chromosome, right, would also work in the life of a man. So Cain was a result of both man and a serpent. This word serpent is an afterthought. It's an afterthought. It's called cunning. Right? But there was one in that garden. When God says that He created every one of them, male and female, then it should be very clear to us that serpent had a wife. It should be pretty clear to us. The serpent had a wife. So, it means they were meant to breathe as well, correct? So there was one in the garden whose responsibility is to help. But who has the ability to be triggered by hormones? Correct? Who can walk around Eve and feel heat around Eve? That is necessary. That's what we're saying yesterday here, that God was trapped in time. And the only way out was for Him to set a trap for them. And why? We said it yesterday. It is for the works of God to be made manifest. Now, if that would happen, but God did not choose that generation. And let me say something. The Bible does not conflict with science. In fact, science is the one trying to put a headbutt on the scriptures. The Bible didn't say the earth is 6,000 years old. No. Do we know that? I think Brother Gunn also preached that here. The earth is not 6,000 years old. The earth is millions of years old. Millions of years old. It's the recreation that is about 6,000 years. And that is why the recordable history, the written history that scientists could touch. When I say written history, they can tell you that they saw a bone of about a million years ago. They saw this of about thousands of years ago. But the written history that they've been able to uncover and in writing was less than 6,000 years old. The writable history of the Sumerians are the ones around the land of Hor to modern day part of Iraq, Iran, which more like are the longest serving people recordable. So, it means there was a world before us. There was a world before us. That's for a fact. But he didn't choose that generation. So, I want you to understand the word a chosen generation. He didn't choose that generation. There were people uncovered in caves with bones that have lived millions of years ago. But if you look at them, they call them, Australopithecus this, Australopithecus that, Homo this, Homo that. But they just look like us. And the way for science to explain it is evolution. That is wrong. You can't tell me that when you uncover a bone whose head is as long as this, then that is my forefather. That's not true. I mean, you've been talking about evolution now, but I... Bro Clement, have you evolved? So evolution is as a result of survival, right? So maybe Singapore is a fast country. You all rush to do certain things, then it means you should have a wheel over your leg right now. Right? So that you can get to anywhere you want to go fast. You should have evolved. But no. Science is stuck in that area. So they are not our forefathers. That was a generation. Are you getting me? That was one generation, two generations, three generations. When the scripture says the serpent, the whole, isn't that what the scripture says? He said the whole serpent. He said it was a murderer. There was the days of the dinosaur. There was the days where there was a frozen head. There was the days when every animals were killing themselves. It was not you and I that was there. Right? There was a generation there, but God did not choose that generation. There was a Tyrannosaurus. Right? There was a bird. A flying elephant. You know, I don't know if you've seen an elephant and how big an elephant is. Just imagine that guy is flying. But yes, there was a flying elephant. There was a time of mammoth. Mammoth. You know, we say, this is a mammoth. It's actually a word picked from an animal then, which was somewhere going to be 10 times bigger than an elephant, with all hair around them. And even there was a time when the scripture described Lucifer and the angels of the Lord walking amidst fiery stones. Right? The book of Ezekiel, the book of Isaiah, fiery stones. But the Lord did not choose that generation. Are you getting me? Are you following me? Does that make you feel good? He didn't choose that generation. What is man? The very first time. What is Adam? Man. That you are mindful of him. What is a man that you decide to visit the very first time that the Lord, the eternal spirit, would visit? Mm. would visit in all of these times before man. You know the reason for the downfall of Lucifer? It was the only one that was an interface between the eternal spirit and every other being that was created. And that is why he said, now, it seems like I am the only one who has access to this Father. He doesn't even call him Father, because there's no father-son relationship. Who has access to this spirit, the eternal spirit? And so, if the eternal spirit tells me that it is black, what if I just change it to brown? No one will know. Right? No one will know. When he started thinking about those things was when iniquity was introduced. And that is why no man should come here. This is a fancy wood. But as fancy as this wood is, it is a sacred place. No man should come here with another man's message. Let me explain to you what it means by another man's message. If my coming here is because Bro Clement had met me out and had told me, Bro Yinfan, there's something wrong with Bro Yinfan. I want you to preach about it. I am playing with fire. The fire might not burn me in front of you, but I am dying. God does not play with his children. He doesn't. It's even as strong as before I preach a message. My wife knows I don't listen to her, and several hours before then I don't listen to anything she has to say. I don't want to hear. Because if I come here or to any other place with a mind that is polluted, then it's going to be said of me that here is Lucifer, who thought in his heart that he could play God. How would a man play God? It is by coming here and saying, this is what the Lord has for you, but it is what I have for you. Then it means I am playing God. So, then, in all of those generations, the Lord did not choose them. Then he said he willed within himself, the book of Ephesians. He had a will within himself. And said, I need a children. I want to be God. I need a children. But this children means, if I need a child, it means that the child must have the same connections with me, right? It means they must be gods. Right? Aren't we all called gods? You have the power of creation. You do not just know it yet. And that is why I'm eagerly waiting. Eagerly waiting. But as everything that would exist that is good, they must pass through fire. So if I need a son, if I need children, it means I have to train my children who are undergoing training. And it's so very, very funny to me, if our Father who art in heaven would bring us to undergo training in this manner, and we just children, we cannot learn to take our children through such a manner. Doesn't he love us? Doesn't the Father love us? He loves us. And sometimes you say, why am I going through this? Do you truly love me? Yes, he loves you. And but yes, you still have to go through it. The love of God is not in the feeling that you have for God, or in the feeling that He has for you. It is not, oh, I love Him because, no. There is no because in the love of God. There is absolutely no because. If you want to explain love, and you start saying because, then you are explaining something else entirely. The love of a man for a woman is not because. Oh, I love my wife because she has a long leg. Okay. We let the devil take the long leg. Or just maybe one day she's walking past the street and something happened and she fell. And she has to amputate the leg. God forbid. But that lives happen. Then what would you say? Oh, I no longer love my wife. Because she no longer has a long leg. Then it means you have failed as a man. So it's not a because. It is, I love my wife. I cannot explain it. But I have chosen her to be one that I love. It is a choice. And that is why as a man, consistently you make the choice every day. Because if you're talking about long legs, you will go out right after your wedding day and you will see someone with a longer leg. Then you would have to make a decision. Are you going to start improving the legs and get the one that is longer? Or are you just going to get stuck with the one you have gotten already? So, God loves us not because. He chose us not because. There is a will. And he exercised that will. And he said, you, Bro Clement, you are in that will. Sister Zoe, you are in that will. Bro Joshua, you are in the will. Sister Yvonne, you are in the will. And he gathered every one of us in that will. And he called us children. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. I thought priesthood was not supposed to mix with royal. Royal means you are a son or child of a king, correct? Correct? Then how would you be a child of a king and still be a priest? Oh, I remember now, David. David was a priest. Oh, no, David, he was a priest. He was a king priest. Or we would say David was a king prophet rather. But as a king prophet, what did he do? He was able to make a sacrifice. But there was one that was a king priest rather. Melchizedek. He was a king and a priest. That is why I say, if you understand me, nod your head. David was close by, yes. A king and a prophet. Saul, a king, but he looks like a prophet. But he's not a prophet. He couldn't make a sacrifice. But David was expressly able to make a sacrifice. In fact, the Lord gave him a pass to eat out of the shewbread. Remember? One thing that he should never do. But he did it. But there was one, Melchizedek. He was a king. Or I would say he is a king. And he is a priest. And our Lord Jesus Christ was fashioned after the order of who? Of Melchizedek. He was not fashioned after the order of Aaron priesthood. Correct? That is the scriptures. It was not after the order of Aaron priesthood. And that is why if you get home, listen to this sermon again. Have your Bible, search where did the scripture talk about the Lord being after the order of Melchizedek and so on. Because if we have to go through all the scriptures, I won't pass my message across. If I were to be in Nigeria, I know I have 4 hours, 5 hours to preach. But no, I don't have that here. So I would run through it. I would expect you to get back and look at it carefully. So, after the order of Melchizedek. And that is why the Lord is a king. Right? And he is what? Our high priest. Correct? And he's also a prophet. And so if we came as a result of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that makes us a royal priesthood. So we can do few things being a royal priesthood. One, we can make sacrifices. Correct? Right? We can make what? Sacrifices. We can make sacrifices. Which means that Bro Lawrence can stand in the gap for Brother Henry and say, oh, Brother, you're going through this, come. You hold your hands and say, in the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I release you. You think I'm talking about something arbitrary, but no, it's not. It's because we have not understood that that should happen. You see your sister in a difficult situation, you have the ability to hold. I'm not saying I as a minister or as a, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying even right in the congregation. Because what? The oil that was poured upon Aaron flowed from where? From his head, right? Onto his beards, right? Even down to what? His skirt. So the oil didn't stop in the head. Right? The oil didn't stop where? In the head. The oil, the anointing of God does not stop in the head. It goes even through the body. The body may not act as the head. Get me right. The body may not come here and preach. The body may not do all the things that the head will do. The body may not coordinate the direction of the, like the direction of the head. But the body also has the anointing flowing through it. He said all the way to the, he didn't say all the way to the foot. You know why? Because the skirt always gets below the foot. It gets below the foot. So it means we're all covered with the anointing. So it means that even as, you know, as familiar, because sometimes familiarity also be is a barrier. As familiar as Anna would be to Elijah, even as that, Anna can hold the hands of his brother and say, you're struggling with this. Okay, in the name of the Lord, I release you. And the word of the Lord is bound to happen. The Lord wants us to exercise our priesthood. You are a priest, but you are not able to make a sacrifice. You don't know how to make a sacrifice. What sort of priest are you? You must know the way to the altar. You must know the way to dissect the sacrifice. You must know the way to present and arrange the altar. You must know the way to call down fire. Amen. Correct? So, next time, when some brother of yours is troubled, you don't have to call the pastor. You don't have to call the pastor. You can pray, believing. Let the cases that need the pastor's attention is the case where you lack the faith. But let your faith be strong that you don't even need the pastor. Let the pastor's job be to dish the word and improve your faith the more. so that you can grow the more in Christ. The Lord has no useless children. He has no useless children. He has no useless children. I'm not teaching you to defy your pastor. No. No. I'm teaching you to help your pastor. That by your hands. I remember the testimony that Sister Joyce gave about the person who lied down in the, I think, around the apartment, in where one of the exercise places in the apartment. And she walked up to the person and asked the person, "Can I pray for you?" And she prayed. If I remember correctly, the person was maybe choking or something was happening to the person. And then she prayed, and immediately, now tell me why that happened. It is to make you understand that there is no slave, there is no man, no woman, no Jews or Gentiles, none of those barriers in the body of Christ. What we have in the body of Christ is one who has been called to help that body. Simple. To help that body. Then he said, a holy nation. Under a chosen generation, you can write down Deuteronomy 7:6. Deuteronomy 7:6. It says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." You can also write down Ephesians 1:4. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." Then you can write down John 15:16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Then under a royal priesthood, you could write down Revelation 1:5-6. Revelation 5:10. Exodus 19:5-6. Under a holy nation. Let's read Leviticus 20:26. Leviticus 20:26. It says, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine." That you should be mine. So, when he called us, he chose us, a chosen generation, right? There was a call for separation. That is why, as Christians, we are not called to be mixed. With others. I'm not saying we're not called to walk with others. We have to walk with others. But we're not called to be equally yoked with others. What bothers you, what bothers them, is not what bothers you. The things that they run towards is not the things that we run towards. What bothers many people today, at this point in time, on a Sunday, is how to go to the spa, massage their body, from there to the pedicure and manicure and whatever cure it is, and to go to the saloon and look good for the week to come. But our own yoke is different. Oh, now it's a good time to go and meet the Lord in fellowship with others. You have a choice to not be here, correct? No, you have a choice. Everything with God is a choice. You have a choice to not be here. There is a level you grow to God, or you grow with God, that you no longer have a choice. But that's a different thing. There's a level you will grow with God, that if you are bound to make the right choice, it will pull the plug on you. It will pull the plug on you. What does that mean? You will sleep and not wake up. Has that happened before? Yes, it can happen. It can happen. The Bible said it takes the righteous before the days of evil, correct? Why was it that it had to take the righteous before the days of evil? You know, the days of evil might overcome the righteous. So God is an investor. And for every investment, if you realize that there's a crash in coming on your stock, what do? You cash out. you cash out. You take all your stock and you cash out. And when the stock is stable, you pull back in. You think God is just a hairy, white-bearded man over there who is looking down? No. He's a smart man as well. He's not a man, but he is smart. He understands what he is doing. He still has a lot of us here today because he knows that we have things to do here and there. We're still part of that investment, part of his trade. We're merchants. The Bible said we're merchants, right? We're still a merchant. We're going in and out, buying and selling. What are you buying and selling? You're buying and selling this, right? You're buying and selling. You're refining. You're getting to be purer. You're beginning to be a better gold, right? You're bringing in gold to yourself here and there. And then when you are rich in the spirit, when you become rich in the spirit, right? And it says, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. Oh, why did we lose Brother 2 years ago and so on? And, oh, yes. He's rich in the spirit. He's full of life. He's full of life. And so he pulled in so that you and I can also have time to be full of life. And I'm not saying it because I know anything, but I want to believe that many of us became serious after his death. I want to believe that some of us became more serious and more closer to the scriptures after we realized that he left. You shall be holy to me. For I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the people that you should be mine. Hebrews 12:14. Strive for peace with everyone. And for the holiness without which no one will see God. You know, the scripture here could have said, you are a holy person or a holy people. But it said, holy nation. So a nation has a king, correct? Has a ruler. But it's also very impossible or difficult for a nation to be holy. You can strive to be holy by yourself. Not as though by yourself, but as individual with your walk with God. Correct? But for you to vouch that Singapore is a holy nation, or so Israel is a holy nation, oh my, that's a difficult word to say. But the Lord specializes in the difficult things. That is what encourages and makes him feel like, yes, if it's difficult, I want to do it. And then he called a people, a chosen generation, and he gave us the ability to be a royal priesthood. And then he said that we would be a holy nation. And what is our responsibility as a holy nation? Any nation that wants to be holy must first learn how to separate themselves. That was what the people of Israel did. There was a separation. Right? And there was a consistent practice of sacrifice to the Lord. There were rules and regulations. And I'm saying this so that we can understand that we have been called out of many places in the world, from different nations of the world. We've been called out here. And last week, we made it very clear that you are a lamp. You're meant to burn. And you're meant to show the light to others. And one of the things you are is you are a salt. Right? The scripture says you are a salt of the world. Right? And that you should not lose your savour, your taste. And what is the work of a salt? The work of a salt is not to add sweetness. It is to preserve. The salt's work is to preserve. The very first responsibility of the salt is to preserve. It's not for sweetness. If you have a salt on a meat, the meat will last longer. I'm not saying the meat you boiled. If you had salt, sprinkle it on the meat, it will last longer than anticipated, than necessary. So, you are a preservation. Everywhere that you go, you are meant to preserve the savour, the sweetness of that place. To preserve the very essence of that place. As a Christian, you do not go anywhere, right, and destroy things. No. Rather, you should be in a place and the people should say, there is something about you. Since you come here, there has been consistent goodness. There has been consistent sweetness. Consistently, we have felt that we are preserved. You should be on the bus and there's supposed to be an accident, and because of you, that accident never occurred. You should be on the plane and we entered into gallop on the air, and you said, in the name of the Lord, every soul on this plane is preserved. And that remains what it should be. You're meant to be a salt everywhere that you go. That is why every situation that you find yourself, it is either the Lord would make you save that situation or you walk out. Then, we're saying that you are a peculiar people. And in that process, we have established that one, You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A holy nation emphasizing that you should be separated. Separated from vain. Separated from the people. Then, you are a peculiar people. So a peculiar people means we belong to God as a spiritual, as a special treasure rather. As a special treasure. Let's read the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 14. Titus 2:14. It says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Deuteronomy 14:2. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. For his treasured possession. Malachi 3:17. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So that is what the Lord said of you. That you are his. You are his treasured possession. You are his jewel. That is who you are. That is who I am. And I have not seen a man who is a prudent businessman who has decided or had ever decided to throw away all of his gold. That's why when Brother Lawrence was talking about giving a testimony this morning about the verse we read yesterday, that no one can pluck us out of his hands. No one. Absolutely no one. Let's go back to 1 Peter 2. While we try to round up. A peculiar people. That is a treasure of God. And how are you a treasure? Let's go back to my first story. He finished all of those generations and they were destroyed. And there was a silence. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. There was no life. The head was void. Had lacked anything called life. Is the devil living? Does he have life within itself? The absence of God is death. When you say a man is dead, when you say a man is dead, it doesn't mean you're not seeing the man. Right? There are many walking dead. Zombies. Literal zombies. Tell me this man is not a zombie. Such a man that is driven by the flesh, the need to just be promiscuous. And so he cannot just do anything else. Have you not seen such cases before? About a man who has just the need to steal. He just cannot do anything else. He's not comfortable doing anything else. Or about the man who has evil. If you do not give him drinks, he will like die, literally die. And tell me, such a man is not a zombie. I know we might be talking about the hard things, but you do not know the little struggles that people go through. Not all zombies are with blood all over their body. Not all zombie looks like one. But one way or the other, the devil has kept many people in the cage. They do not have a will of their own. Then, the Lord said, let there be light. And there was life. And he saw that the life was good. And he called the life day. I am juxtaposing John 1:1 and Genesis 1:1, right? And he saw that the life was good, and he called the life day, and death he called night. Because the absence of life is death. And death could not comprehend life. Death fought over life, right? That is why the Lord Jesus said, death, where is your sting? Where is your power? Where is that thing that you have? And then, it says in here, God created man. Right? We're rounding up. He created man. And that man was enjoying the presence of God for quite a while. And you know the funny thing about Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 is that if you read it, you'll be confused. Because it seems that God had to recreate man in chapter 2, and it seems that he created man in chapter 2 even before the animals were created. But I thought the animals were created before man. Did you notice that pattern? Maybe we should go there if you haven't. So, Genesis 1, let's read from verse 11. Just run through with me. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding fruit, seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Right? Okay. 20. And God said, let the water bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Amen. 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And then after that, in 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And that is it. Right? The animals first, then man. Now let's read chapter 2. Verse 4. These are generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth. Oh. And every plant of the
field before it was in head, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God has not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground.
Oh. Before they grew, before the plants were in the head.
But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground God made the Lord to grow every tree. After that, then out of the ground, now the Lord now allowed every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of the life also in the midst of the garden, a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it. For in the day that thou shalt eat it, therefore shalt thou surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a help, meet for him. And now, 19, most importantly, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. I thought they were formed, created before Adam. But Adam was right there when they were formed out of the ground, because they had to be brought up to unto Adam for Adam to name them. And by the name that you, your father, Adam, gave, they obtained their characteristics. Adam was a prophet on earth. He was the Lord of all the earth. He had the title deed of the head. And if you have the title deed, you own the head. So, out of every ground the Lord God allowed, he formed every beast of the field and fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to all the fowls of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found the help meet for him. So you see, a peculiar people. And God then allowed something beautiful to happen. That is back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Something beautiful happened. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How? How? Let there be light. And there was light. And he saw that the light was good. And the enemy came to quench that light, to shut it down. And when he shut it down, what happened? Adam had to go and look for a fig to cover their body. What is fig? Covering is a religion. Read the book Religo. Covering is a religion. Some cover themselves with fig. Right? What is fig? You look at the scriptures, the fig leaf, the fig tree, you probably look at the nation Israel. Right? Every nation has a tree that symbolizes or represents it. Right? But the Lord said, no, no, no. You will not cover yourself with fig. But I will cover you with a lamb's skin. So, Adam was simply saying, for a while, we would only be saved by the nation Israel. Fig. For a while, just for a while, we would only be saved by the nation Israel.
That is the chosen people of God. Correct? That is a fig. And the Lord says, there would come a time, right, that I would have to kill a lamb. And that lamb would be a sacrifice that I would use to redeem you. And he killed a lamb and put the cloth upon them. It was dripping with blood, yes. But it was a covering unto them. Right? Then there came a time. I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And that is why the scripture here would say that he had called us out of darkness. Into where? Into his marvelous light. You see that you and I, we go way beyond Israel. We go way beyond Israel. It is not Israel that has saved us. It is the God of Israel that has saved us. The same God that was in the beginning. So, does that make you feel good? Who I am? I am the Son of God. I am no longer the slave of sin. I am a peculiar people. A holy nation. That is what I am. I am called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. That is who I am. I am a royal priesthood. I am a son of a king. My father is rich in bountifulness. He has everything. The earth and the heaven is in his hands. And it is my possession. It is my possession. But what are we doing now? We have been trained. We have been nurtured. We've been squeezed. We've been shaped. We've been mixed. They will become so bright and beautiful. Amen. 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 Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And the predestination is for a purpose. It is to be conformed to the image of his Son. Right? And let's be practical. If you need to be conformed to an image, it means there's a problem with your image. Right? So when we say we are created after the image of God, we know what that means. If you're created after the image of God, there's no need for you to be conformed to a new image. The image that we have is marred. M-A-R-R-E-D. It is spoiled. It is dirtied. That is why we need a new way to conform, a conformity. So we have been created. We have been foreknown. We have been foreknown. Foreknowledge of God is the chosen, the choice of God. He knew you before time. Sorry, when I say before time, even before the heavens and the earth was created, he knew you. He knew you. So he did foreknow you. And then he said, great, I will predestinate you to be conformed to the image of my Son. Okay. Then, this is a problem. If you've already been created in that image, why then do you need to be conformed?
He then now said, okay, it means they would have to have a fallen image. How then will they have a fallen image? Oh, I would introduce something into the garden. The Bible says without sin, there is no law. Right? Correct? Why was there a law in the garden? Why was there a law in the garden? Yes, thou shalt not is a law. God was the one that says, thou shalt not. It means he's introducing law. And the reason why he's introducing law was because the man called sin was right there, seated in the garden. Why? There was nothing God can do about it. He had to allow his word and his mind to be fulfilled. This is all part of God's plan. So don't look at your life and say, oh, my life is bad. It is not bad. It is not bad. It is part of God's plan. Oh, I have lived a failed life. No, you have not. My brothers and sisters, you have not lived a failed life. Don't let anyone tell you you have lived a failed life. You have not. What you should make sure you do not do is that you should not remain in the dung. But as long as you can take a step forward, it is part of God's plan. It is part of God's plan. As long as you are breathing and you are crawling, you cannot walk, right? You are crawling. Fine, keep crawling. You will get to the end of the road. I said you will get to the end of the road. Don't let the enemy tell you that you will die in your sin. No, you will not die in your sin because you have no sin upon you. The Lord has taken it far away, out of the way. He has nailed it to the cross. So those are the things the enemy used to trick you. Make you feel dejected. Make you feel like you are not enough. You are enough. He has given you more than enough. He has made you more than enough. Just keep on walking. Just keep on going. Oh, look at your mates. That person is preaching the gospel. You are just there. You're not doing anything. Fine. As long as you realize that you need to improve, and you are asking the Lord to make you improve, and you're taking a visible step towards that, that is enough. What you should never be is be in the pits of depression. Don't allow the devil to do that. He did foreknow, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that son might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, I don't know if you understand something here. If you read the scripture, you realize that there's a story God is telling here. Because if we want to look at it, who was the firstborn? Who was the first? Adam. Right? If Adam already took the first, how would then the son be the firstborn? So he didn't say that the son might be the first among many brethren. He said firstborn. So he brought Adam, but he had to bring about a birth. Adam was not given birth to. Adam was simply a blueprint. A blueprint. That is all it could be. God says, how do I want to play this out? Let me first try it in Adam and see how it works. Then he introduced Adam, the man without a navel, the man that was created at the age of 30, the same age our Lord Jesus Christ entered into his manifestation. He was already an old man when he was created, at the age of 30. We don't know how long he lived before the fall. But after the fall, yes, 900 and something, yes. Great, wonderful. So it means the last Adam, who is the second man, will be able to do according to the blueprint that the first Adam laid on ground. What was that blueprint? The ability for a man to lay down his life for others. Adam was the first to try it. Adam was the first to do it. And then God realized, great, if it works here, then fine, now let me introduce the monogen. The monogen, the word of God. Right? And then he was born out. He became the first born. Right? He became what? The first born among many brethren. Right before Jesus was born, there was no brethren. They were only servants and slaves unto God. Even Moses was a servant. David, how precious David is, was not a son. He was not a brethren. He was a servant. That is why the Lord would say, from the beginning, right unto John, there had never risen any man that was greater than John. He didn't say after John. He said, but everyone that is in the kingdom of God is greater than even John the Baptist. Do you see that line? From the beginning, right unto John. Then from there, became a different generation. So that even you and I, as wonderful as John was, we are greater than John the Baptist. Do you see that? We are greater than John the Baptist. So, he became the firstborn among many brethren. And we are to conform to his image. To his image. And lastly here, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Oh man, I love this. That is a good story. First, he started from where? Foreknown, right? He foreknew them. He predestinated them so that we can be conformed to the image of the Son, and that the Son will be the firstborn among many brethren, right? Then now, what is the process after that? The process is simple. Those who he did predestinate, he now had to call. He called you and I. Called us from every nooks and cranny we were in. Then what did he do? He justified us. Right? When you're baptized into the body, you are justified. The moment you enter into the water and you rise up, my brother, my sister, the devil, I'm absolutely saying it, the devil has not a single claim over you. He has not a single claim over you. I wish the Lord can open your eyes. And you can see the devil feeling very dejected that you are gone. Now he has not a single claim over you. That is why what can happen after now is a case of, and that is, I mean, if you truly have believed and you've received God. Because there are many who just went into the water to take bath. They just went to take bath and they came out feeling a little bit clean physically. But if you truly believe God, what can now happen after now is this, and which is where the problem lies. The devil has no claim over you, yes. But you can lose things, even though your soul will be saved. Because if you understand, I think there is a message where Brother Grant preached about echelon. Hierarchy. Echelon. There is a hierarchy in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a flat structure. Like companies today deceive us. Companies will tell you, oh, we're not a flat structure. We don't have these. We don't, you know, everyone reports to the CEO. No, that's a lie. Sorry. There's an echelon. An echelon means that if you are able to amass God's work and you're able to do so well, you will receive a reward in heaven. And in the world to come, God will give you something wonderful to do. We're expected to sit with him on his throne.
Correct? Which means we will rule over other nations. It is not fiction. It is not Disney fiction. If you read the scripture, that is what it is. And I am sorry to tell you, and I am not sorry as well, I believe it with my whole heart. Absolutely believe it with my whole heart. Because the day will come like no other day. We would wake up that day, you brush your teeth, you take your bath, you will be set to go to work, and then you realize that this is not like every other day. Something is different. It is time to go home.
Amen.
Then your ears will be open, and then you will realize it is homegoing time. Amen. This earth no longer feels comfortable to me. It seems my body is lighter. Oh, yes. Ah, okay. Bye, everyone. I'm going home. And then you will depart. When he justifies us, he would glorify us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's be on our feet. Who I am, Lord. Who I am. I can see now. Who I am. Son of my Savior, a part of His love. It's a revelation. And I think here it says it's predestination. Right? Say it's predestination. So it coincides with what we've been talking about. That day He set me free and made my heart His very. You see that? Wonderful. He made my heart His very throne. Made my life His alone. Let's sing now with understanding. I'm a prisoner of love divine. Hallelujah. And now I live. If that is true, wave your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, who am I? Who I am? Who I am? Who I am? I can see. I can see now. Who I am. Oh, a part of my Savior. A part of my Savior. A part of His word. I am in His image. Amen. It's predestination. Hallelujah. Oh, who I am. On Calvary thy. On Calvary thy. To redeem His lost bride. To redeem His lost bride. Oh. Priesthood. Amen and amen. This is God's great mystery of love expressed. Of love expressed to me that Christ and I, that Christ and I will be made. Who I am, a part of. said, I've heard of my Savior, I've heard of His word. It's revelation, it's a revelation of who I am, of who I am, Lord. Hey, who I am, who I am, Lord, who I am, who I am. I can see now, I can see. Now, who I am. I'm part of my Savior. I'm part of my Savior. Part of His word. It's predestination. It's predestination. Hallelujah. It's predestination. Oh, who I am. Now let's hold our hands. Let's hold our hands. Just hold someone close to you. Let's form a bond. Make sure you're holding someone. Let's form a bond. Make sure you're connected. Your two hands, please. It's fine if you are connected in threes. You can just lay your hands on someone else there. It's fine. Yeah, in threes. It's an eternal bond. It's an eternal bond. Come here. Okay. So hold. Okay. Yeah, let Mama hold you. Yeah. It's an eternal bond. A part of my Savior, a part of His word. We are never complete without one another. That's the truth. That's the truth. That is the truth. The Lord has not called you alone. He has called every one of us. He has not called me alone. He has called every one of us. That is why it's called predestination. And so we would bow our head and we'll pray for my brother, pray for your sister. Say, Lord, the one's hand that I'm holding right now, may you send your light. Send your light, Lord. Send your fire. Let there be a revival. Let there be a revival. Go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, I'm holding the hands, Lord. Let there be a revival. Let's just pray. Pray. Pray to the Lord. Go before the Lord in prayer. Pray. Pray. Pray to the Lord. Just, Lord, let there be a revival. Send your fire, Lord. Send your fire, Lord. Let there be a revival. We are light. Send your light. If my brother needs some heat, send heat to his body. If he is too cold, Lord, send your heat. Let there be a light. Hold your hands, hold your hands. Let there be a light, Lord. Send revival, Lord. Send revival, Lord. Send revival, O Lord. Send revival, O Lord. Send revival, O Lord. Send revival, O Lord. If my brother needs heat, if my brother needs help, may you send help. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, send your light. Send your light, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. If there's any one of you whose heart is touched this morning, and who realizes that you need the Lord to touch you, who realizes that you need the Lord to help you, just bow your head as well and ask the Lord for help. He is here. He is here right now. Don't doubt it. He is here right now. So Lord, help me. Just say to the Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Send your light. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Baptize your people, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost. Baptize your people, Father, with your Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost and fire. Just like in the day of Pentecost, Lord, baptize your people, Lord, with your Holy Ghost. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let your fire come down right now. Let your spirit come down upon your people right now. Let it erase every barrier. Let it remove every barrier. Let it remove every barrier, Lord. Let it remove every barrier, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Baptize your people, Lord. Baptize us afresh, Father. Baptize us afresh, Father. Let your hand rest upon us, O Lord. Let your hand rest upon us, O Father. Let your hand rest upon us, O Lord. Let it break down every heart that is stony. Let it break down every heart that is stony, Lord. Let it break down every heart that is stony. May you, Lord, come and meet your people. May you, Lord, come and meet your people. May you bring every barriers and break them down. Break every barriers down. Let every wall of Jericho fall down flat. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You love us, Father. We know you love us. We so much love you, Lord. We so much love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my hands, and I will sing of your goodness, O God. All my life you have been faithful. All of my life you have been so, so good. And with every breath that I am able, I will sing of your goodness, O God. I love your voice. You have made me through the dark. Oh, in darkened times, you were close like no other. You made me as a brother. You made me as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All of my life you have been faithful. All of my life you have been so, so good. And with every breath that we are able, we will sing of your goodness, O God. Your goodness is running after, is running after us. Oh, your goodness is running after us. When my life laid down, we surrender now. We give you everything. Your goodness is running after. He's running after us. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all the fear is gone. Because we know he holds our future. Our life is worth our living just because he lives. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We ask, O Father, that you will go amidst your people right now, Lord. Now you break down every wall of partition, Father. Who we are in you, we now understand. We now know who we are, Lord. A son of our Savior, a part of his word. We're the light of the world. We are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that one which was called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Glory to his name. Because the blood applies glory to his name. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Break every barrier, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Break every barrier, Lord. Break every barrier, Lord. Let every barrier be broken, Lord. Let your light shine, Father. Let your light shine, O Lord. Let your light shine, O Lord. Out of the darkness into your glorious light. Out of the darkness into your glorious light. Out of your darkness into your glorious light, Lord. Let every barrier be broken. Let every barrier be broken, Lord. Let every barrier be broken, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have set your people free. You've set your people free. Set your people free. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, set your son free in the name of Jesus. He whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Every shackles of the enemy, every hangs of the enemy, every obstruction of the enemy, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that every barrier be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you. You send your word, and your word healed us of all our diseases. You send your word, and your word set us free from all our shames. Oh, Lord, every mental illnesses, oh, Lord Jesus, upon any one of your children, any disorderliness, I break that barrier in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus, whatever might be a mental disorder, whatever might be troubling your daughter, whatever, Lord, might be troubling your daughter, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, I break such a barrier right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break such a barrier right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, let there be a clarity of mind. 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 Send your word. Send your word. You have sent your word, and it has healed us of all our diseases. Thank you, Father. It has healed of all our sicknesses. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. 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 Blessed be your name, Father. Oh, glory, honor, power, and majesty be unto Christ. Our Lord, for you alone is worthy, for you alone is worthy, for you alone is worthy, Christ, our Lord. I pray for your children, O Father, as the sun rises from the east and sets in the west, and that no man can shut down the sun. No one will shut down these ones, O Father. No one would obstruct their light. No one will stop them from shining. No one will cover them up. And I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, from this very hour, from this very time, from this very day, let there be freedom, O Lord. Let your light so shine, O Father, that even the land of Singapore will notice it. That around every land in Asia will notice it. From this day, from this moment, from this house, from this household of God, let there be a flow of living waters in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let the living waters flow over my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control. In every situation we ask you, our Lord, we ask, Father, let your living water come and take control over these ones, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just bow your head and pray for the person that you are touching and say, Lord, whatever is the desire of this one, may you do unto them. Whatever is the godly desire of this one, Lord, may you do. Children, close your eyes and pray. Whatever is the desire, Lord, of this one, may you do unto them. May you do, O Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Let's have our seat. We can have our seat. Wonderful thing is that the Lord works in mysterious ways.